check in on the latest releases. So tune in to This Music Hour every Monday at 5.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
You there, buddy?
No, I'm here. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. All right, I got to turn this thing off. All right, we are... Why is everything really... All right, there we go. That was much better.
You're getting nervous. You got somebody watching you.
I got someone in studio. I know.
Get a little nervous.
So we got Joanna in studio. She's starting... When are you starting your new show?
My first episode airs next Saturday from 11 a.m. till 12 p.m.
Are you excited?
Yes, I'm excited.
You nervous?
All of it, right, everything.
Give us your top five things.
How does she get the Saturday slot?
I don't want a Saturday slot.
Prime time.
You want prime time Saturday? It's too much. It interrupts my weekend way too much. Like, this does too. Actually, I got a call from Tom the other day, and he's like, hey, do you want to move to 6 o'clock? And I was like, let me think about it. And I was like, actually, can you get us something during the week? And he's looking into that. Maybe something at night during the week. So right. Throwing it out.
I like
there. We'll talk about it later. This is not show worthy mentionable stuff. Not yet. So
what's the name of your show?
What's the name of your show?
My show is called Crime Talk BK. And as the name suggests, it's a show about crime and criminal justice. Ideally around Brooklyn, but I'll expand it to the other boroughs as well as appropriate.
Who's calling?
So real crime.
This is Morgan. Hello?
Hey, hey.
You sound hungover.
I sound hungover. Ugh, it's the raspy voice. It gets me every time.
Can you hear her? Ugh, she's such a pain in the ass. So...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, but Giggles can't hear you for some reason. It's
Giggles!
So Morgan is Giggles' niece. She lives down in Florida. All right, you're still in Florida right now?
I am, and I love that you just had to ask that because you know that that's such a great question.
It is a great question because I never know where the hell you are.
I know. It's fair.
It's fair.
You know what? To be honest, Dave, half the time I don't know where I am either. So.
What does that mean, Morgan? What does that mean?
You know, I'm living where I am. And I'm just figuring it out along the way.
All right, what have you figured out?
Every time.
Tell us what you figured out.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question, too. Actually, it's funny. One of my friends is actually flying home from New York right now. This is a side note. Coming back to Florida, I was like, oh, wish I was there.
Morgan, what's happening in your life? What are you doing? So last time I talked to you, you were going to be a stewardess for an airline. How did that pan out?
I'm sorry.
You there? Can you hear me?
Yes. I'm sorry.
You got bad reception over there.
I know. It's supposed to be Florida.
I know. So last time I talked to you, you were going to be a stewardess.
A stewardess. Oh, listen, that is so funny. Yeah, so now you have your own speaker, by the way.
I can tell.
Mom and dad are in the car. It's actually my dad's birthday.
I know. Happy birthday, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
So we're actually on our way to a movie. We just left dinner with the whole fam bam. So everybody with us, but... I was going to be a stewardess, yeah. So I have a few applications in, but it takes a really long time. I did not make it through the process with Delta. That happened in, like...
No Screw Delta. Delta. They suck anyway.
Yeah. So, like, my goal would be... my goal would be Southwest, but I hear it takes a really long time to get even, like, an interview, like a first interview with them. So waiting for that, and then I'm also... I'm working full-time right now down here and still doing the wedding stuff and then applying for a few different positions.
But you're working with your mom?
I do. I work with her on the day of a wedding.
How's it working with your mom? Give us the lowdown.
Oh, goodness. Do you want, like, how rated do you want it?
Yeah, I want the rated, like, X.
You want the dirty?
Yeah, I want the dirt. Give me the dirt.
So there's this, like, funny little thing. So people tell me that I'm very much like my mother all the time. You know, they're like, oh, my gosh, that's why you butt heads, which I totally get. Her and I, we work well together when we're not in the same room.
I can see it. It's a Bradley trait.
But we have fun together. And, like, it's not just her and I. I think since we're so similar, it's like we're so similar, but we kind of understand and respect that now that as I've gotten older, I definitely do. And so... like she deals with, on the day of a wedding, she deals with the bride and, or I'm sorry, like the vendors and like the logistics of everything. And then I specialize in like the bride and the emotions, like the people side of things. So I'm still coordinating with vendors occasionally, but it's more or less to like ensure that the bride has like the highest degree of communication possible. So.
So it's no lie that I see all of your Instagram stuff, and most of the time, I would say 99% of the time, you are partying. You are partying pretty hard. You are pretty drunk. How often do you go into work hungover?
Oh gosh, you know, it's funny you think I'm a partier. This is good stuff, man. Because I would not classify myself as that, but maybe that's because I'm like the least partier of my group.
She's just on a 7-year, 8-year college plan, you know, just keep partying.
I say stay in college as long as you can. That's what I say. I regret leaving. I wish I stayed there as long as I could. I was on a 5-year plan myself, but I wish I stayed longer.
I did the 4.5, so that's fair.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. But no, so I don't know. I like to have a good time. I think if you work 5 days a week, you're, you know, fair to kick back for a minute. But no, like, do I go into work hungover occasionally? But that's like an accident. I don't know if you've ever done that before, just like accidentally gotten drunk. It happens to me a few times.
I mean, Morgan, what are you, 23?
25.
So, at 25, yeah, I guess you get accidentally drunk. Joanna, how old are you?
I'm 26. You're 26? And I absolutely get accidentally drunk.
You get accidentally get drunk.
Yeah.
I'd say I'm almost 40. I don't get accidentally drunk anymore.
I don't know what happens. It all of a sudden just flips up and it's like, wow.
I can't feel my bottom lip.
That progresses.
Ask your parents if they get accidentally drunk. I'm interested just to like get a good base study here. Like what?
Mom just automatically chimed in and said no, but I'm gonna have to chime in for her. Not accidentally drunk, but you get drunk.
Yeah, that's two different things. That's what we're talking about here, Morgan. Accidentally drunk compared to like, all right, I'm gonna go drunk tonight. That's a conscious effort.
I'm the kind of person that I'd rather be drunk at my house, like enjoying wine on accident. You know, like while I'm cooking.
Just a bottle of it.
Be honest.
I think that's kind of like the early 20 somethings now. It's like I'm gonna stay home and I'm gonna get drunk here. It's easier than going out.
I think it's because
go ahead, Morgan.
I'm not an introvert by any definition, but I'm.
No, I see your Instagram videos.
Time. You know, like I enjoy my time at the end of the day. So the role that I'm in right now, full time, is what I do 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, essentially during the weekdays.
You could say 9 to 5.
Like it's just not a role that I see myself in, so it stresses me out because I'm not.
Isn't your mom your boss?
No. So I work for a real estate development company full time with like benefits and that kind of thing. But like I work for my mom. It's more of like a. It's not really. I don't like
side hustle. Really the kids call it a side hustle. Like
with her.
She just keeps going.
Side hustle. Yeah, yeah. Dave, what about you? Give me the word. What's going on? And Joanna. Is it Joanna?
Joanna's here. Yes, Joanna's here. Joanna is starting her show. She's starting her show on Saturday, so she's in here shadowing. So we're having fun. I'm teaching her things. I don't think I'm teaching you anything. But we're in here, and she's got a pad and a paper, and she's got like one sentence written out. Go ahead. Ask her. You guys are closer in age than we are. Ask her. Go ahead, Morgan. Ask her whatever you want.
Thank you for your permission, Dave. So you guys are there together. You guys are live in New York. Joanna, how do you guys know each other?
We know each other through Radio Free Brooklyn. I messaged him yesterday, less than 12 hours before now, asking if I could just come in and shadow because I realized that I needed more hours.
And how's it going?
It's going wonderfully. I'm having a lot of fun already, and I think we've only been doing this for a couple minutes, so I think this bodes well for...
I'm going to be honest with you, this isn't like any real radio show that you'll really
give
sit
us five
in
stars.
On.
This
See,
is
it's as real as you want it to be.
Oh, it's always as real as I want it to be. That's kind of the angle I go for here.
The next thing is like you really can market things these days for like whatever you want. You, however you sell something is literally how people perceive it.
It's very true. Well, you used to be our marketing person. Whatever happened with that?
I used to be. We talked about it one time on the show, and then we didn't talk about it till the next week on the show, because that's just how it works. The show is the show.
The show is the show. You're not wrong in that aspect. But, you know, like, I was like, all right, email me. We'll start getting rolling on this. And then I never heard from you until today.
Then
crickets.
I don't even talk to, like, my, I don't know, man.
25.
I think that
what a time to be alive.
I'm listening to the show on delay.
Yeah,
in one ear, so I can hear the phone conversation. I'm listening to you live.
Should we let her go?
We should let her go. Right. She's going to a movie. Happy birthday, Dave. Dave's the hardest working guy I know.
I feel bad for Dave. I feel bad for him. He's
like my family, Dave. You're my radio Dave. It's true. My family, Dave.
This is true. So. He is. He's your brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this legitimate family day. Morgan!
I need to hear an update from Giggles.
Baby watch.
Really quick, I need an update from Giggles on the baby.
All right. The update on the baby? Oh, baby watch? They want to know baby watch.
The baby is due today.
The baby's due today.
And it's not out yet. So
no.
What my wife is like 40 weeks pregnant.
She's induces labor, don't you?
Crazy.
Yeah, but they usually wait a week for that, right? They usually wait a week or so
after
for
a
induce.
Week, and then you induce.
Yeah.
So.
So.
You know what induces labor though, and brings on though, don't you?
I'm not. Wait. What'd you say that again, Dave?
You know what brings labor on, don't you?
Are you talking about sex? That's what we're talking about, Dave. You're telling him to go have sex with his wife, so she
exactly.
She goes.
Yep.
I mean, you heard it from your brother-in-law.
He's a man of wisdom.
He is a man of wisdom. I mean, he has a 25-year-old daughter who wants to be a stewardess. So there it is. Who was once a...
She's got some interviews in. She's got some applications in.
All right, guys. What movie are you going to go see?
I don't know what it's called.
Do you know anybody who goes, I'm going to go to the movies, and I don't know what movie I'm going to see?
S-I-C-A-R-I-O.
Sicario. Yes. It looks pretty good. It's got Benicio del Toro. Great man. Great actor. You'll have fun. All right. Go watch the movie and give me an update. We'll get a critique on the way back. All right.
Keep it real, Dave.
You keep it real.
Giggles, keep on giggling, man. Joanna, it's a pleasure.
You too.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Oh, she's something else. She is something
that
else.
That was a good call.
Yeah.
That was a family call. Family calls are fun on the radio show. That's the other thing. A little bit of advice to our friend here. Get your family call in. If you don't have anybody calling in, just get random
She wrote that down. She wrote it down. I can't tell you how many times our only call of the day was Giggles' mom. She is a good caller, actually. She doesn't hold back. I'll be honest with you. She doesn't hold back, which is awesome.
Oh, well, I'm already getting quite a bit of parental involvement because I was talking to my mom today about setting up the Facebook page for my show. And God bless her. She's figuring out Facebook. And she's my page's first follower.
Nice. Dave and Giggles will follow you. Just follow us. We'll follow back. That's how it works, right? Follow back. Isn't there like an acronym
BK
for that?
Crime BK.
Crime Talk BK.
All right, let's talk about Crime Talk BK. So you're not gonna just localize it to BK. But at first we'll talk mostly BK stuff, right?
Well, my first episode. So the first half of the show is going to be about criminal justice, and it's a little bit more serious, a little bit more sad because there's a lot going on. And then
just in BK alone.
No, it's going to be like New York City, but there's some really great organizations in Brooklyn that I'm hoping to bring in as guests to talk about, like police alternatives and de-escalation and just how to get along with your neighbors in a way that does not involve calling 911 for children selling water.
True.
It's
Very true. I recently watched.
I saw what you did there.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that reference.
I recently watched. I think it's I.D. Adam. Did you see that guy?
No.
So this guy.
Oh, yeah.
The guy at the pool. He was like the Pool Alliance dude, and he was also whatever. And this woman and her kid come to the pool, and they're inside the pool, and he like targets her out, heads over to her, and is like, "I need to see your ID." And she's like, we're in the pool. You need an ID, like a key card to access it. So he calls the cops. You've seen it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He calls the cops. The cops come and is like, let me see your key card. He passes it in front. It turns green. He's like, that's good enough for me. And he's still being a dick. I just can't get over the fact that he's just like that blatantly obvious about
it.
He
lost
like,
his
racism.
Job.
Yeah, he did.
So,
yeah. And his Pool Alliance.
So, I mean, yeah. For like July 4th, I was like, oh. Because like there was... Oh, I think we got a caller.
We do. Hello?
This might be Larry.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's happening?
How you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm great.
Who's this, Larry?
Backstage?
Yeah.
This is Larry. Yeah.
What's happening, Larry?
I'm backstage at Steve's Day here at Summer Stage in New York.
Nice. You're over at Summer Stage?
Central Park. What's that? Yeah, I run Summer Stage.
Oh, nice. Are you there now?
I'm here. We have a hip hop show going on.
Nice. Who's playing?
We have Joey Badass.
Okay.
And Jake Critch.
Nice.
And a few other big hip hop stars. We have 5,000 capacity crowd.
Nice.
It's a great, great crowd.
As in, you've been working there like all weekend and all week?
No. Friday we had Trey on the stage playing.
Yeah, I saw that. Trey was out there on like Friday or something. How was the crowd?
The crowd was great.
I bet. I mean, it's just a bunch of hippies. You can't go wrong. Nice.
That's right.
So let me ask you this question, Larry. When you get in a band that you don't really like, how do you deal with it? Do you kind of like just turn off and like let your mind wander, or do you kind of try to get into it?
I try to get into it every time. You know, I mean, it depends if they're nice, you know, and they're welcoming to everybody and their fans. Non-fans included, I try to get into it.
Nice. Who's the nicest guy nicest person you met while dealing with the talent?
Phil Lesh.
Phil Lesh, yeah, I can see that. In his early years, he was not so nice, but I could see that now. Did he get high backstage? Did he just like smoke it out?
You know, that's confidential.
It's confidential. Totally. You're working.
I'm working. But, you know, Steven Tyler was really nice as well.
I heard he's really nice.
Yeah, Steven Tyler was amazing. But I had to evacuate that show because of lightning. So he only played Sweet Emotion, and I kicked him off the stage.
He only got one song in, and then you booted
one
him?
One song in.
Oh, yeah, man.
I had to evacuate. Yeah.
How did he feel about that? Did he get upset, or was he just like, fine,
no,
whatever?
He did a quick mashup of four songs.
Oh, nice. So he knew he had to get off.
He had to get off. Yep.
Got it.
Yep.
Wild.
Hold on one second.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll hold.
The box office.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, we're a radio show. It's cool. We'll just hold. We'll wait for you. All right, so.
Hey, when he comes back, ask him about Finland.
Finland?
No, not Finland. Iceland. He's doing some show. Larry's producing some show in Finland. No, Iceland. Iceland.
Iceland. He's producing a show in Iceland?
Like,
how do you know Larry?
Larry, I met him at camp. We went to Vietnam and Japan and Thailand together.
Your mustache
Cambodia.
Is really coming in. It's
you like
really
it?
Looking good.
Get some better light. What do you think about it? There
you
go.
Joanne, what do you think?
It's itching like crazy.
Yeah, it's at that stage. It's at that stage.
Should I grow it out or shave it? I kind of.
What do you
I'm
think?
Back.
Oh, he's back. Good.
I'm
hey,
back.
Larry, I was talking to Giggles about a show you're setting up in Iceland.
Yes, I'm setting up a great show in Iceland. It's David Bowie Celebration.
Oh, that's awesome.
Of his original band at the Opera House, October 7th and 8th, at the Opera House in Reykjavik, Iceland.
That's dope. That'll be a really great show.
Over from New York. Yeah, great show.
In October, I was there in August, and it was pretty much full 23-hour sunlight. How was it in October? Do we get any dark?
It gets dark around 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And then,
Yeah, we have the band playing on the 7th just alone, and then the band playing with a choir and orchestra on the 8th.
Nice.
So it's going to be a spectacular show.
Sounds like it. Yeah, yeah. We'll all go.
Yeah.
We need to do a Radio Free Brooklyn field trip to Iceland.
I'm down. Have you ever been?
No, I haven't.
What's the what's your favorite place you ever been?
That I've ever been?
Yeah.
Oh,
where are you originally from, Joanna?
I'm from Houston, Texas.
Yeah, Texas girl.
And I was about to say that Texas is my favorite place that I've ever been.
Sure, but you're born there. You're born there.
I really loved going to the Sierra Nevadas. I'm like a road trip.
Upper West Coast?
Yeah, well, I road trip from Portland, Oregon back to Houston.
Oh, wow, that's a long drive.
And... well, I went through a bunch of state national parks along the way.
As you should.
And it was just so great driving for hours through all these twisty roads and mountains and forests.
Yeah, you go over those mountains. It's pretty awesome. And then you come down into, like, the desert. It's pretty great. Giggles lives in Colorado, so he knows all about that, those mountains. You're in the mountains.
I just painted a mural, dude.
Wait, you painted?
I painted a mural for my kid's room. Yeah, I'll send you a photo.
Send me a picture.
It's pretty rad.
Send me a portrait. Yeah, send me
Actually, I'm surprised. It came out better than I thought it was going to come out. So
I'm going to ask Larry. Larry.
Yes.
Where's the best place you ever been in your life? Tell me. Let's lay it down.
I was ever at Cambodia, Angkor Wat.
Angkor Wat is pretty dope. I haven't been, but I have a lot of friends who've been, and I've been over there.
I've been there with Mike.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You were there together. I forgot about that. Giggles, that's with Larry to Angkor Wat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Ta Prom or a couple of those other ones. That was the real deal.
That's like epic. North Cambodia, right?
Cambodia is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
There it is. There it is.
Hey, guys, I'm going to have to call back in a little bit.
All right, go do your thing, Larry. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Love
you guys. Remember, Iceland, October 7th and 8th.
I think I have a wedding that weekend, but we'll make that happen. We'll get out there.
When's Iceland? When was it?
October 6th and 7th.
7th and 8th.
7th and 8th. She wrote it down. She's going to be there.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds like, pretty epic.
All right,
Iceland's on my radar.
I've been to Iceland. Iceland is really awesome. Iceland is like being at another world. It's bizarre.
You were there
belong there.
I do.
Dave,
I know. Well, these are my people.
You're almost Icelandic.
I know. Those are my people. I will say, when I got to Iceland and I got off the plane, I don't know if you've ever had that like feeling. Like when you go back to Texas, you get off the plane or whatever, right? And you kind of like breathe the air and you go, oh, this is my home.
You breathe in the humidity and the pollution.
Yeah. When I got to Iceland, I was like, I get it. This is somewhere inside of me. I totally understand. I could just breathe easy. It was like it was right on the ocean. So there's this cool breeze constantly flowing in, even in August. It was marvelous. I love it. But, I was going to say, you were going to say something. I was there.
You were there. Did you get any nighttime at all?
I got about 20 minutes of night. Yeah. It's really bizarre. I camped out one night in some like flatlands, and it was really hard to sleep. It was just like you just go to sleep and you're like, why am I even trying? Like, it's just light out. And like everyone drinks around the clock. So like if you go to bed and then you wake up and you go out and there's just like empty glasses everywhere from people just drinking on their way home. I never saw a cop when I was there, but this was like 10 years ago. So maybe things have changed, but never saw a cop. Everybody was just like super cool, super chill, drunk all the time. Everyone eats fish.
Where, people are going right now. Or
what's the new destination?
Islands.
Where?
Have you heard of the Faroe Islands?
Where are the
Faroe Islands?
Where?
They're north of like Scotland.
Ah, no, I don't know those.
Look them up.
That's pretty far north.
Yeah, it's real, real north. But it looks like Iceland and, sort of Ireland on drugs. The cliffs are just very green and epic.
Yeah.
But super windy and super,
Yeah, I bet.
So, a couple of my friends have been going there and like filming elopements. They film the most craziest place to have a wedding. and do this epic film.
I believe it. I believe
it. Those guys on the show.
You should get those guys on. You got Larry on. That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yeah. I'm getting everybody
like,
on.
I know. You're just getting everybody to come on. I feel like I met Larry. Didn't I meet Larry?
I can't hear them.
I know. I don't know.
We had sushi with Larry.
Oh, that's that Larry. It's that Larry. So yeah. Larry got a new job. Oh, congrats to Larry. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I wish I told him while he was there.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought that's who
so
it was.
Larry, like last time we hung out with Larry.
Are you taking notes? Is she taking
Yeah, she's
notes
taking notes.
Still?
She's taking notes. She's got all a bunch right. of notes. Last time we talked to Larry, we like hung out with him on, we ended up, he came to New York and we walked. Did we walk from Williamsburg or was it Ridgewood?
Oh, God. Where did we walked from Astoria?
No, we walked from
Williamsburg
to Astoria and then to Sunnyside. So it ended up being like a 12-mile walk.
Yeah, it was like 10 to 12.
10 to 12-mile walk. It was a long walk.
And that's a great walk.
Yeah, we met
that's
Larry.
What you need to do in New York City. You
do.
Just need to walk. You need to get out there
and just walk.
And, like, it's a walking city.
It's
you
true.
Can walk, how many times have you walked over a bridge? And you're like, I'm just going to walk over the bridge. I'm not going to take the subway. I'm going to take a walk over a bridge, and you can.
This is the man right? who's supposed to have a baby today. So
today.
Today.
She could be having the baby right now. And,
you wouldn't even know. She was out the door. She just drove herself. I mean, the third kid, they had no problem.
They just pop out. Well, she started a load of laundry above my my radio studio. So that kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I won't say anything. But, like, you know, for next time, she knows.
I won't say anything. I won't say anything to a 40-week pregnant woman. That's probably a smart
right
thing.
Above me. The washer and dryer are right above where
I see the pot. I see the, yeah, I see them.
You can, there you go.
Look at this basement that he's got in Colorado. It's just like wood and like asbestos and, what is it? Why are the walls still plastic? Oh, man, that's a pretty big basement. I never saw that side of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh yeah, dude. That's like the bed. It's kind of and wait, there's a couch over there. I can't.
Wait. Why do you have a bed in the basement?
Oh, who's, I call it softly finished.
Softly finished. Who sleeps on that bed
down here?
Who sleeps on that bed? You?
Nobody.
You?
Schaefer.
Schaefer
slept on there.
You?
That was Morgan's bed. You know.
So Morgan used to be
she slept
his.
There until I booted her out.
He did. He booted her out. Morgan used to be like their live-in nanny for a while. And then, like, she just,
for like a month.
She would just get drunk and, like, not take care of the kids. And then her uncle, which is Giggles, had to fire her, which is so good.
I like this
true.
Girl.
That's not true.
You did.
That's not true.
You
she
did.
She didn't get drunk all the time. She just, you know, life happened for her.
Life happened. So, she got accidentally lifed. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, you gotta either pay rent or do stuff around the house. Cause, like, you know. It felt like I had a college roommate in town. You know, I was like, oh, I don't need a college roommate.
Well, now you know how, like, I feel every time you show up in New York.
I'm only there for a day, man. I'm only there for a day or two.
And we walk. We have a good time. We always have a good time. We go rooftop access. We'll go to the bars.
We'll spoon the next time.
Head to toe. Always head to toe. Yet the genitals are still touching. All right, so
get my mom to call in.
If you want, I want to talk to Joanna more because we started talking about it, and every time we start talking about it, we get interrupted. But so explain your show again, and I want to talk about it. So let's just set the tone. We are Dave and Giggles. Giggles in Colorado. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. If you want to call in, 718-928-9732. Joanna's in the studio. Her show starts Saturday, 11 a.m.
Saturday, 11 a.m. until noon.
Nice. She's a little nervous.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
It's called Crime Talk BK.
Crime Talk BK.
And as I was just telling these guys, the first half hour is kind of serious and sad, talking about criminal justice. And then the second half is me just going over interesting, weird, historic New York murders.
Interesting. Mm.
And I'm really looking forward to that part. The one that I'm going to be covering next Saturday is the Grid Kid murder, which is basically about this.
Lay it on us. What's a Grid Kid murder?
It's like this 17-year-old kid. And I think he might have been like 19 or 20. But he's young. And I think he was like a freshman in college. And he's in school for football. He's breakout star, really great, nicknamed Grid Kid.
Great kid.
Yeah, he seems really nice.
The jock.
Like,
He's got everything going for him.
Everything going for
him. This white kid who's got everything going for him in the world. Yeah, I get it. All right, go on.
And then just wrong place, wrong time. Like, everyone says that he was really likable and stuff, but he's out partying in the city with his friends, and he lives in New Jersey. So for him, it's like a little bit new, not quite used to it. And he just like goes to the wrong party, and they find him shot to death the next day.
He was shot to death.
He was shot to death.
All right, go on.
And where it gets really interesting is that, so the guy whose house, the host of the party,
yeah,
and these are all like young guys, like between like 17 and 20. So the guys whose house it is gets convicted of murder. And then his friend who brought the gun to the party also gets convicted of murder.
Okay. So two people get convicted of murder, possibly with very limited evidence. Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah. Well, I personally think that the kid who brought the gun, he's confessed. He has a gun. I think he's confessed. Don't. This is not legal. Please don't sue me if I get that wrong.
We won't. Believe me, nothing here will make that happen.
But yeah, he definitely seems like fairly solidly culpable in what happened. But the other kid, even though he was convicted, his mom just doesn't believe this. And
what mom would, first of all, right? I mean, any of us. Go on. Yeah, I didn't cut you off.
All right. If I was convicted of murder, I'm pretty sure that my parents would just be like, okay, kid, you know, you're in prison now. Goodbye.
You did it.
You did it.
You got convicted. You did it. We believe it.
But then this mom just like really doesn't believe it. And the case just has these holes. And she actually goes undercover and realizes, she finds one of these jurors who convicted her son and realizes that he had a conflict of interest. And she got a retrial for him.
Nice.
And the
looking out, mom, she's going all out. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Well, his appeal hearing is coming up soon. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to cover it. But like, power to this mom for like sticking up to her son and for really.
So he was tried with this original juror and he got found guilty. How many years did he get? Did he get life?
I'm not sure if it was life, but it was considerable.
It was considerable.
Yeah.
I'm going to say for Saturday, get that info.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was researching it this weekend and I have like pages of notes in front of me. Yeah. But I just.
Bullet point that. Just ready to go. Everything ready to go. Because I might listen and I might call in and I'll be like, Joanna.
Oh, you should call in.
I will. I'll call in for you. I will call in.
I'd like to say it was something like 30 years is usually. It's either like 30 to life, I think, is normal for.
A murder.
For murder.
30. I mean, when you're 17, he's 20. You're 30 years. You're out in 50. Every good behavior, you're probably out of 40. His life isn't over necessarily.
Yeah.
If he stays in for the entire thing, which is interesting because you're kind of like looking at something like, all right, so I'm in jail for a majority of my adult life, but then I'm out and I still have possibly 20, 30 good years being free, which is pretty interesting when you think about it.
I know, but you read, Marshall Project is this website that covers criminal justice, and they have this blog where prisoners write in about their experiences. And this one guy was saying that he was in prison for a really long time. And then when he got out, there was the internet.
So he had no idea.
And I mean, he was aware of it in theory.
Just didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you remember Shawshank Redemption, right? When Brooks went in.
That's a good
one. He went in before there were even cars. And then when he gets out, he's like, life moves mighty fast. So, I mean, you know, like. Time changes and you don't really know what's going on when you're behind bars and you're locked up in, which is America, which is the highest population of locked up people in the world, which is another story all in itself. But let's go back here. Where do you, why did you want to do this show?
Well, I worked as a crime reporter for a bit and I was doing stories for NBC and the Daily Beast.
Okay. All right. Nice.
And then I actually currently, I'm a producer of a true crime TV show.
Tell me off air, because I might work on it.
Okay, yeah, that would be fun. But it
you
seems
need an
like
actor?
Yeah, he does. Giggles is a part-time actor, too.
But it seems like so much of my life and my interest has been around crime and criminal justice. And so when I found out about Radio Free Brooklyn, I realized that there wasn't really that much on our station that deals with these issues, even though it's very present in Brooklyn and in New York.
Yeah.
And so I figured I would try my hand.
So what did you think of, what was the big one that sold the podcast? The murder mystery one. What am I thinking of?
Serial.
Did you listen to Serial?
Yeah, I did like Serial.
You liked it?
Although my favorite one is actually Atlanta Monster, done by the studio that does Stuff You Should Know. It's a really, they look into this serial killer who killed black boys in Atlanta in, I think maybe like the 70s.
70s were a tough time for murders.
Yeah, and it was like, the investigation was kind of weird, and a lot of people feel like race might have played a part of why it lasted so long.
How many people did they kill? Do they know? Did they catch them?
No. Well, yes, sort of. It's up for debate.
It's up for debate. It's all in the podcast, Atlanta Monster. That's what you're telling me to do. Listen to the podcast. All right, I'm in it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he killed like at least 10 kids.
Damn.
It was like a serial killer. People very freaked out.
Yeah.
But what I really liked about that podcast is that they just pack a ton of context into what was going on. And so I'm really into history and stuff like that. And so I think that one rises to the top.
Yeah. Did you hear, did you ever look into, I want to say it was like 50s, the murders in Staten Island? You know the one I'm talking about? It was a murder. So there used to be in Staten Island, there was a an insane asylum. And they shut it down. And then they just let everybody go. And there was one dude who just started killing kids. There was a famous name for him. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But there was a famous dude. And he just lived in the woods. And he would just lure kids into the woods, kill them. And he just did it for a dozen, I think. Dozens.
It sounds like you should come on my show. And
I'm into it.
Tell me that murder.
I will. I love. I work on so many murder shows. We'll talk about that after.
You could be her little wingman. Yeah. I'll be your sidekick. She's nervous. Just be like, hey, listen, I'll return the favor. You shadowed me. I'll shadow you.
Shadow you. Make sure you're all good.
Yeah. That's what you do. That's the Brooklyn way.
That is the Brooklyn way. That is a Radio Free Brooklyn way.
Can we, not to segue too much here, but can we talk about those guys stuck in the cave in Thailand real quick?
What's the tally of how many they've saved? What's
four
the update?
So far.
Four.
I thought it was four.
Yeah, they definitely saved four. One dude died, right? That one dude died.
An ex-Navy SEAL.
Yeah, one of the rescuers, right? He ran out of oxygen or something?
Yeah,
well,
he was delivering
bottles. I guess they were like, you know, trying to like stockpile oxygen bottles places.
Oh,
it's crazy. It's a crazy story of just like human sort of survival and sort of everybody lending a hand. And I was like, this is the human element we need to focus on, guys.
Right.
Like,
it is the positive.
We could
positive.
All come together and like, you know, rescue these kids.
Yeah.
You know, let's come together and, you know, I don't know.
Did you see there was a last picture of that dude who died of him like getting ready to go down into the mines to save him. And that was the last picture of him ready. And he looked wiped. He looked like beaten. He was tired. But I mean, it's so nuts. I think they take like 20 hours in between each time they go down there to try to save the kids. So they went down, they got four, and now they have to wait 20 hours to like regain like the oxygen levels again and all that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. How did they get stuck down there to begin with?
All right, so as far as what I know, and I've only been reading a little bit of the
news,
but I guess
reader.
They went in there, and then the storm just happened, and it started like flooding where they were, and so they had to go deeper in the cave to get rid of or to get away from the waters, and so then they just got stuck because I mean it's like monsoon season, it's just pouring down rain.
Yeah. So basically, it filled up. And they got trapped on one side of an air bubble in there, pretty much.
Right.
And now it's just the waters are too high. They don't have enough oxygen to swim underneath.
No. And there's like, you know, there's like tunnels and stuff that are filled with water. So, and some of these are super tight to get, you know, and so they have, you know, divers, and a lot of these kids can't swim. And so you're having to take some kid who's never, like, you know, swam and, you know, put a oxygen mask on him and, you know, push him up through a narrow.
Oh,
it's freaking me out. I mean, it's got like horror film written all over it.
Have you ever gone down in the in mine, so to speak? Do you ever go caving?
Oh, my goodness.
Here we go. This is part of the Saturday show. Go ahead.
So my dad is a geologist, and he's really into rocks.
Sure, that's what geologists do.
And so our family vacations, I kid you not, we're going to different parts of America with interesting rock formations and or mines.
So let me get this straight. Let's roll this back. So this dude's into rocks. And he's like, family vacation, guys, we're going to go look at rocks.
We spent a lot of time in South Dakota.
Okay, South Dakota, a lot of rock.
Colorado.
Yeah, I'm sure you saw the Mount Rushmore, right?
Yes.
And what did your dad have to say about it? Like, oh, they really messed those up?
Yeah, he was looking at it, and he's like, huh. And he's like, Joanna, do you want to go dig for fool's gold? And I'm like, real gold? He goes, oh, no, that's really hard to find. And I'm like, okay, well, go dig for fool's gold. And we found some. It's, but yeah, I was like the only 10-year-old who could identify different types of rock geodes.
That's kind of cool. You must be a hit at a party, right?
But what does that get you, though? I mean, where does that get you in life?
It's true. So what did you learn? What is the biggest tidbit of information you learned growing up with your dad?
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm talking anything. Let's open this up. Giggles, as well. What is one thing you learned from your dad? And we're going to talk about it on the show. If we know Father's Day is like a month ago.
It's over,
but we're going to revisit. We're going to start with Joanna. What's one thing you learned from your dad?
He really taught me the importance of self-sufficiency.
So like survivalist? Is that what we're talking about here?
No, not survivalist. Just more of like if there's something that you need to do, that's something that you need to do.
Mm, that is an important lesson.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people sit around and wait for someone else to help out or do it for you or whatever. Mm-hmm. That is pretty interesting. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Giggles, what do you got?
You know, I was
so we're well. Let's roll this back a second. Me and Giggles are part of the Dead Dads Club. So, you know,
both of our dads are dead.
Both of our dads are dead. I.e., Dead Dads Club. So anything that had to have been passed through our dad happened a long time ago.
Yeah. I like the. I always think about my dad when I'm driving, just because my dad definitely like let me drive at an early age, like at 12 or 13, he was letting me drive, you know, sitting in his lap, driving his car, you know? So I learned how to drive at a really, you know, early age.
So did you learn to love to drive? Is that what you're telling me?
Or just about driving and like car safety and like just, you know, knowing, you know, always to expect somebody to do something stupid, you know? Or
so
like
your dad is
when
basically
you're going to go through a stoplight, you know, look left and right before you go through it when it's green.
So you're telling
just
me
because they're
that your dad is basically the DMV to you.
It's like the car safety, you know? Driver's ed.
Your
driver's
dad taught you car safety. Like all the things that you could pass along to your child. And here you are going, my dad taught me car safety. I really appreciate it.
I spend a lot of time in my car.
What do you think your kids are going to say that you passed along to them? Good question.
Good question. They're both like very smart and social.
Yeah.
Like they're very, you know, like they get a, you know, Sam is like makes friends with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, he plays with older kids really well. And, you know, we're just doing I don't know. They're fun to do stuff for, you know, and to, you know, I painted the mural for him and then I like bought Leo a new bike and all this stuff, and like you can see the joy in their,
so you
their
like
eyes when you get to do this stuff. So I like yeah.
You like being
a
dad.
I should be. I got three kids coming. I got a lot of kids.
Do today. That's really wild. We've been doing.
I look at my kids and I'm like, oh man, what? I remember when it was just me and you hanging out.
I know.
Me and Rath, and I had no kids,
no girlfriend,
and I was
not a care in the world.
And then now I'm like, how did it jump to this? It's fine. I like it. You know, I'm happy. But I was like, it feels like a quick jump.
Yeah, like it is a quick jump.
Years just happened in an
instant. I know. We've been doing this show before you had kids. And if you listen to the show in like a succession of how we did it, you'll actually hear the progression of you having the baby. We talk about you, your nervousness of having your first kid, then your second kid, and now your third kid, which happens to be possibly today.
Today is the due date. So
that's wild.
Do you have a name picked out?
No, I don't care about that. I mean, you got to look at the kid before you name it, right?
Yeah.
You got to. Yeah.
We've got a, I was thinking, what was the name? Oh, God. No, I won't say it because it's kind of offensive. But I thought of a funny name and I was like, oh, that'd be funny to just like put when, you know, we post the picture of her and say that that's her name. But then I was like, somebody's going to get offended. You know?
So you're just going to make a joke name and put it out on the internet and see how people react.
But I was like, somebody's not going to think that's funny.
That would be funny for me. I would enjoy that. I went out to Jones Beach yesterday and hung out on the beach and hung out with a bunch of Long Islanders. I'll tell you, they don't care what they say at all. Like, they're offensive as all hell and they don't care. They don't care.
Yeah, I don't really curse around my kids. You know, I think... Although Leo said the other day, he was like, Sam, you're pissing me off. And I was like, oh, man, they got that from me.
They definitely got that from you.
You know?
Yeah, they definitely got that from you.
Leo's been saying, he's like, you're a disease. And I was like, what's that from? And he's like, Home Alone. You know?
Who's he saying? Oh, when the
says he's like, you're a disease.
You're a disease. Like, yeah, totally.
Like, that's a great insult.
Yeah, that is a great insult.
You jerk. I wanted to punch him.
You're a real jerk. That's also from Home Alone. So wait, you're having the kids watch Home Alone? Are they liking Home Alone?
Yeah, they watch that with the in-laws.
Ah,
they spend a lot of time at the in-laws.
Good.
That's the other good thing.
That is the other good thing. Well, that's why you moved out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know this. You haven't been out to visit me.
No,
this is still a source of contention.
He's been out there for a while.
We are not. I feel like we're not really friends anymore.
What are you talking about? I saw you like a month ago. Saw you like a month ago. You came here.
I always come to you.
Who's the reacher?
We have this conversation all the time.
Who's the reacher?
Sorry, Joanna.
This is part of life. When you're in a relationship, whether platonic, whether friendship or whatever, you ask yourself, who's the reacher? Am I the reacher, or is he the reacher?
There's always the little push and pull.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and he's
totally the reacher. Yeah. Right. I tried to get Deb to call in. I don't know why. She's we got 6 minutes left and she won't call in.
Yeah.
She would have been a good topper.
Yeah, she is a good topper. So we have this friend Deb who's a sex therapist and she calls in every once in a while and we get the insight of what's happening. But she's always insightful and she just started her own business. So if you're listening, Deb, congratulations. I know we talked to you before about it, but I'm always happy to hear that you're doing well. And I want to hear how it's going. So maybe next week we'll get you on, Joanna. So what are you? All right, let's go through. I want to hear. We got a couple minutes left. I want to hear what after doing the show, what have you learned, and what are you most fearful about for your show? She's got it written down.
Okay. So what I have learned is that I probably need to chill out a bit more because right now I have a multi-page script of everything I want to say.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, look at us and go, they're chilled out too much.
Okay.
Too much.
We're chilled out too much. So, like, dial it, like, halfway in between there.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Go on.
But I definitely think that at this moment, I can have some space to breathe and time to talk.
That's all it needs. That's all you need.
Space.
Give
I tell
a little
Dave
space.
This all the time. Give them space. Give them a little breathing room.
Yeah. And the thing that I'm most afraid of is getting a fact wrong about a murder and having the family call in.
That is pretty
you gotta
sketchy.
Do your research.
I will also tell you to look into, like, as you're doing a show, like, I know there are like certain legal things about like talking about a case when it's still pending.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure everything you say is on board with that. I mean, you're pretty much talking about opinion pieces, so you should be fine.
Well, and I'm pretty good about that usually. Like, I'm very pro using the word alleged and good. Citing as I
Very
talk
nice.
And sticking to sources that have some weight behind them.
Good.
Yeah, I definitely want this to be hopefully somewhat more journalistic, but at the same time, like, live talk shows are intimidating because if you say something you can't issue, it's harder to issue a correction.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I got one question here about before we go, because we got a few more minutes. What is one crime you would do, and I'll ask Joanna this first and then Dave, one crime you wish you could do and get away with? All right, so it's like The Purge. You get one day of crime that you can actually do and get away with.
So
what is it?
While we have a couple minutes, I want to show, first off, Donald Trump's trying to trademark the catchphrase from The Purge, which is like, make America great again or something. Whatever it is, he's trying to patent pen in that, and they have the patent on it, so he can't get it from them. But the idea that Donald Trump is trying to get the saying from The Purge is the most horrifying thing I've ever heard in my entire life. All right, so back to the topic at hand in the 2 minutes that we got left. What do we want to do if we could do anything and get away with it?
Yeah, like rob a bank or, kick someone off a cliff. You know, something.
Would you want to hurt somebody if you could get away with it?
No. I don't want to do a hurtful crime, but I'd like, I don't know. I think it'd be cool to jump off a tower if you had a parachute.
So jump off the World Trade Center or something and then see.
I don't want to say rob a bank because I don't want to steal, but I don't know. Yeah, I guess I don't really have the answer to my question, but
thrill crimes.
Yeah.
He wants to do thrill crimes. If we were going to get
graffiti,
away with it, in the end,
graffiti might be kind of fun. I don't know, to do some sort of
Sure. But I mean, if you're going to do something that you want to get away with, hopefully in the end you have some money. So maybe money laundering. That doesn't sound so bad. It's not going to hurt anybody. And in the end, you're going to have some money. So you're going to take some money from some criminals and you're going to launder it. And in the end, you give some back to them. And in the end, you have some by yourself. Doesn't sound so bad.
What do you think, Joanna? What's your crime?
I'm trying to think of one that doesn't make me sound like a sociopath.
Do you feel like you're a sociopath? Do you want to talk about that? We have a minute.
I think it would be... the one thing I really wanted to steal was Harry Potter was coming out, and I wanted one of those copies so goddamn bad.
Wait, you want to steal a movie before it comes out?
Yes.
Ah.
I think that, I would love it if I was an expert hacker who could just hack into, Paramount or, the transcripts of all my favorite writers at Penguin and just sit there and read everything.
That's pretty interesting. That's an interesting one because essentially you're only breaking the law for yourself. So it's like you're not going, I'm going to release it to the world. You just want to read it to yourself. I think we could possibly make that happen. I don't think that's so bad.
Sounds like when I had my ex-girlfriend's email and I was reading her emails.
That was really bad.
That's kind of a creep. I was like, that was a kind of creeper move just to see what she was doing.
That's really bad.